Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Brian behind the glass, Thursday edition of the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Lots to get to today. 302.
You read that really quickly.
I was like, why are we
that was
hurt?
Really quick.
302 today.
You working on your auctioneering skills?
No, I was ready to say, Paul's not driving and the wheels fall off the Killer G's bus. I need Paul to keep him on time, keep him on track. 2 minutes late. The Killer Bees.
You think that's going to help?
No, Paul goes 320. Paul's the one who set the record. No, it will not help.
No.
They actually did better than what they normally do.
Maybe Sean pushes that through.
I mean, Joe was driving, so he probably deserves the credit there. Lots to get to today. It's a Thursday. Bad Tech Boulevard, Combine stuff. The best thing that's happened at the Combine is that you've had people fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Reporters are fighting.
It's awesome.
We'll talk about that later. Bad Tech Boulevard, it's a good one today, I think. I think Bad Tech Boulevard's going to be very good. Cam Smith has been nicknamed the Sweet Pickle. So we got to talk about the worst nicknames in sports a little bit later. That's a terrible nickname.
That's awful.
Sweet Pickle?
I got some good ones, but some of them I don't know if I can put the name with the player with them.
If somebody called me Sweet Pickle, I think I'd be offended.
Unless it was like your grandma came up with the nickname when you were a kid.
Yeah. if it's one of your like female relatives, fine.
Right.
Well, but if it's not that, that's offensive.
Like if your buddy called you that, you would know he's taking a shot at
you. No, you're a Sweet Pickle.
Yeah, he's taking a shot at you.
Yeah. Sweet Pickle does not sound very kind. But leave it at that.
But like Sweet Pea was Pernell Whitaker.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good nickname too.
Yeah.
But that's like the letter of his name.
And I also think you hit on something. You have to be able to
vegetable, right?
Right, but I don't think they would have called him Sweet Pea Pernell Whitaker if his name was Earl.
No, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If you're as tough as boxers are, then you can get away with it at some point.
Yeah.
Like
for sure.
it'll because of the irony of it, it almost becomes fine.
What was Duran? Manos Piedra, right?
I can't
roll my R's. Yeah.
Hands of Stone?
Yeah. Yeah, that might be my favorite nickname.
It's pretty good.
That might be my favorite, but Sweet Pickle is one of the worst. We'll talk about that later. Rockets beat the Spurs, and I've always said this, if you really got to win on the second leg of a back-to-back, you got to be able to do that. Rockets did that yesterday. Jeez. Look, I mean, the Spurs are bad. Watching that game, you know what my main takeaway was? Without Victor Wembanyama, that team's terrible. They might be the worst team in the NBA without Wimby.
I think they want to be. I think
probably.
Right now, you know, you look at the production that they got. I think that without, because Popovich is pulling the strings, whether he's on the sidelines or not. And I think that they just basically made the decision, hey, even if we were to get into the play-in, it's probably not going to do us any good. What we need to do is do what we've been really good at in the past, like getting Tim Duncan by tanking and just kind of tank away. Because you look at the scoring and their bench scored 79 points. Their starter scored 27.
Yeah.
So their starters were worthless, and I don't think they really wanted to even put forth a lot of effort, but at least their bench was doing something for them because I think they're mailing it in.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, they're probably tanking, but that's not a good roster without Wimby. Does it make you think differently about the whole De'Aaron Fox thing?
Oh, not at all, because I think De'Aaron Fox, when you start from scratch, I mean, he's still got to kind of settling in there and everything, but I think De'Aaron Fox, if you start at 0-0 and you put him in the backcourt, whether you have Chris Paul or
not. No, I'm talking about from a Rockets perspective. Like, do you feel like they dodged a bullet not having to pay what they would have had to pay to trade for De'Aaron Fox?
I think De'Aaron Fox, I think he's an extremely good player. I think that he gets set. I think next year you're going to see the old De'Aaron Fox and then some, and I think that he's going to be just fine.
See, I think he's good, but just good.
I don't look, I'm not going to fight back too hard on that one because I think he could be an all-star here and there every year, every so often. I think that he's going to put up 20-some and probably 6 or 7 dimes a game. But is he a superstar? I would probably say, if I had to guess one way or the other, I'd say no.
Yeah, that's where I'm at on that. Like, I don't know how much of an upgrade De'Aaron Fox would have been to your team. It depends on what you traded away. Like, I said earlier this year that, like, De'Aaron Fox is a better player currently than Jalen Green. I don't feel that way anymore. Like, I think that Jalen Green has passed him up. And
does that
he's
help
younger.
That he's not a heater?
I mean, we'll get into Jalen Green a little bit later, but I don't know if this is a heater. Like, I'm wondering if he's starting to mature and develop as a player. I would rather have Jalen Green at his age right this second than De'Aaron Fox at his age. And maybe I have too much bias from that game yesterday where Jalen played well and De'Aaron Fox scored 7 points on 3-for-12 shooting. But I remember when the Rockets played the Kings the last time. Mm-hmm. Like, De'Aaron Fox was the third best player on Sacramento in that game. Like, Monk was better than De'Aaron Fox. So it's like, eh. I don't know how I feel about De'Aaron Fox at the moment, but I'm happy he's not a Rocket, I think. But okay. this is what you were supposed to do. Like, yes, second leg of a back-to-back, you would have had an excuse for me, but a bad team, you cruise to victory. You get outscored by 14 points and you still won by 12. Mm-hmm. Like, cruise to victory against a bad team. This is what playoff teams are supposed to do, and they did what a playoff team is supposed to do.
Yeah, they basically led by double digits for 3.5 quarters.
Yeah.
Once they got going in the first quarter and settled in, they didn't look back, and you're right. That is exactly what they are supposed to do. And I think along the way, we started to see some things kind of work themselves out in terms of what they're doing for their rotation, who's in now and who's out, because it looks like Cam Whitmore is firmly out, that Aaron Holiday is firmly in, that they are, you know, going to rely. Jayshon Tate did some nice work off the bench for them. Again, he's been getting more minutes. And all of a sudden, Jeff Green, because of what he did when he was called on, I think is getting rewarded a little bit. But in the process, you still see the balance. You see guys that are capable. And Amen bouncing back after, you know, the getting thrown out with a really, you know, balanced throughout the box score again. He does a little bit of everything, and he helps you win.
You know what I think my favorite thing about Amen Thompson was yesterday?
What's that?
That he shot the ball 15 times.
And he made 12 of them.
Yeah, that's great. Like, yeah. That's probably not sustainable, right? Like, but I want him to look for his shot more. This is a conversation we were having yesterday. Like, I want Amen Thompson, when he gets the ball in the paint, to score, attack. And how many paint touches did he get yesterday where he scored and attacked? I think it's their most efficient offense is getting Amen Thompson paint touches. He had that one up and under move where, like, he was able to take one step and dunk it from the free throw line. Mm-hmm. Like, this, I've called him Baby Giannis. I think that he is Baby Giannis. I think Amen Thompson is your most efficient scorer from in the paint, inside the paint. Now, you can't always give him paint touches. Alpi's certainly going to clog that up at times, and he needs the touches. And Jalen Green's playing well right now. But I want Amen Thompson to look for his touch more, his scoring more. And whenever he puts up 15 shots a game, 17 shots a game, he has these massive, massive high-scoring games.
Yeah, I think that if I read you right, but I'm from the standpoint of that doesn't mean start firing away jump shots.
No.
That means take advantage of your strengths.
Get
which
to the
is
rim.
With your reach, with your athletic ability, and your ability to get inside, you can basically take it to just about anybody, and he's not afraid to take it to guys bigger than he is. So, and he's starting to make free throws. So I think that that means, hey, do something positive with the ball. And I also think he's got a high enough basketball IQ and court vision that when guys come over and help and shut down the lane, he will kick out and guys will get open threes. And like last night, Dylan Brooks, yet again, and he's been really good for the last month or so, but when he gets open threes, he's a pretty consistent three-point shooter right now to add to the kind of the guys you have on the perimeter that can knock down three balls.
Yeah, like Alpi and Amen are very different with their paint touches, right? Like, Amen's mostly back to the basket, posting up. Amin can do that, but he kind of faces up from like free throw line, elbow, get to the paint, spin move, up and under, stuff like that. But if you gave Alpi, let's say, 25 touches a game in the post, mm-hmm. and you gave Amin Thompson 25 touches in the post, and it's going to look different. Alpi back to the basket, Amin probably facing up more. Of those 25 possessions for each guy, which one scores you more points? Which one's more efficient?
It's a really good question.
I think it's Amin.
I see.
12 for 15. And look, maybe recency said, yeah. bias, one game, like you're losing your mind. Like he's not going to go 12 for 15 every game. But I trust the ball in Amin Thompson's hands to finish that possession with a bucket. And it might not come from Amin. It might be moving the ball around. I trust the offense to score more points with 25 point paint post touches from Amin Thompson than 25 post paint touches than Alpi Şengün.
I see where you're coming from. I need to see more consistency. Because, look, the one thing I think that he's underrated on, you might say that he doesn't have a touch from outside, and especially from three ball. I think he's got a really good touch from,
that's
the,
why I said
from around
touches.
The elbow. Yeah.
Yeah, post paint touches.
I think the but I need, and he's got to keep consistently making free throws. But I think it's a really close. I just think, you know, I don't want to shortchange Alpi. He's so polished with his footwork. He finds a way to either draw contact and get to the line, but more times than not, he finds a way to score right on top of the basket. To where I like thinking about who would I would just lean a little slightly Alpi.
And look, you have both guys. Like it's not a pick A or pick B. It's not a you have to choose either guy. I guess the bigger point here and the more realistic point to like get away from a hypothetical is, I would like them to have equal amount of touches from those spots. Because
I don't disagree with that.
I'm not convinced that you don't score more points and have more offensive efficiency whenever Amin Thompson is getting the same amount of touches as Alpi Şengün. I graduate. Look, Amin Thompson's been scoring a lot of points, all of these things. I think it's efficient. I want to see him try to look for his shot. Not his shot. I don't need to take him jump shots, but get to the paint. Get to the rim. Finish. You feel a double team. Dump it off to whoever the dude is in the dunk spot. I like feeding this offense through Amin Thompson.
And I think that what you're saying without saying it, too, is that means that Jalen might have to be a willing kind of teammate and understand you may not get the ball as much looking to isolate and score, but it's for the benefit of the entire team that, hey, like we just got done saying – Amin, if he gets it, you may get it back.
Uh-huh.
You know, Alpi even is really good about passing out of the post if he gets doubled. So it's just a different way of getting a different result, right? Getting more efficient offense by understanding, hey, we're not punishing you and saying we're taking the ball out of your hands. We're creating more versatility and options for you and everybody else by giving other guys the chance to kind of draw defense and then, you know, react accordingly.
And so many different things are going to dictate what it looks like. Maybe Amin's on fire this game and you're picking a bad matchup and it's more Amin. Maybe whoever's defending Jalen Green that night can't stay in front of him. So this would change based on the game. But I would like to see, instead of Amin Thompson being like option C behind Jalen and Alpi, I would like him to be option 1A, option 1B, or option 1C. Because
mm-hmm.
I think your three best chances of scoring each time down the floor is either a post touch from Alpi, a post touch from Amin, or Jalen Green with the basketball. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that there's much separating those three options. I don't think it should be an option A, B, C. I think it's 1A, 1B, 1C, and it should be dictated basically with who has the hot hand, who is defending those guys. Because if you have some bum defending Jalen Green, let Jalen Green cook. If you have some bum defending Alpi and they're not double-teaming, let Alpi Şengün cook.
Right.
So you do have the versatility, and that's the big, you know, bigger picture here. But I want Amin to be closer to those top options as opposed to being like a distant third. Texter Şengün goes and gets his more. Amin can score in any system because he's so active, but I don't think he's number one option good on offense like Şengün is trying to do. Alpi's more skilled, I'll give you that. Alpi having a drop-off because this is new, he's going to be better next year. I don't deny any of that. But I think we're selling Amin scoring short because he is not a good shooter. Giannis has never been a good shooter, and he can go get you 25, 30 points a game. I think Amin Thompson's capable of that. Like if Ime Udoka told Amin, go get, look for your shot, shoot it 20 times a night, how many points would Amin Thompson average? I think he'd average 25 a game.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, especially when people are trying to figure that all out, you know, good possession is a little bit over, you know, 1 point every time you get a possession down on your end of the floor. So it's not like we're expecting him to get a bucket, you know, more every time.
Amin, real quick to interrupt you. Yep. Amin's averaging roughly 10 shots a game this year. 10 shots a game.
And he's averaging like 16
He's
points.
Averaging 14. Yeah. Give him 20, he's going to average 25.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's why I want Amin to be more of a scoring threat. I think he's capable of doing it if you give him that green light. And I'm not trying to take away from Jalen or Alpi. They're still going to get theirs as well. But, like, we talk about how can this offense get lifted? How can you bring more out of this offense? I think the answer is Amin Thompson.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think when you look at it, especially because you don't have Fred, but I think this is what you're looking at for what the progression should be for next season. Whether you bring Fred back or not, Fred's going to have to take a step back, not just financially, but he's going to have to take a step back and understand that this is going to be these young kids' team. And this is how, you know, as their progression happens, the next thing is, starters with more minutes and more young guys in the starting lineup. And when you see that, then I think, as we talked about in the past, who plays where? Where are their homes? Where are they best suited? I don't care if a man plays point guard or not. I just care that he doesn't get shut out offensively, because you know what he's going to bring defensively. I mean, he's so long and rangy. Just his little poke checks, too. He ends up more times than not that getting part of the ball and then going behind the offensive player and picking up the basketball for a turnover. He can guard near the rim. He can rebound the basketball. He can block shots. I'm not worried about his defense no matter where he plays. Offensively, you need to put him in a spot where he's not going to be a traditional jump shooter, isolate on the perimeter guy, but he's a guy that can get the same results.
Yeah, I think he's more of a four than a one. Like, he can play any of those positions.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's in the right system with guys that can score offensively around him in other spots from the perimeter. I think he's a three.
Yeah, I mean, he can play any of those positions. I think he's more of a point forward than a point guard. Like, they used to call Scottie Pippen that. I'm not comparing Amin Thompson to Scottie Pippen. It's hard to find a comp for Amin Thompson. Like, I do compare him to a baby Giannis. This texture saying Giannis is physically dominant, though. It's tough. Is Amin not physically dominant? And, like, this is the second year of Amin. Was Giannis physically dominant in his second season? Like, Amin is physically dominant right now?
But let's also think about this, too. And I'm not saying he has to go nuts. But Giannis, it took a couple years for him to fill out.
It did.
And get really strong and kind of, you know, and put on some muscle.
And he entered the league younger, which is hard to believe.
Yeah. Younger than...
Yeah, Giannis was 19 when he entered the league.
Well, I thought Amin was too.
Amin's 22 right now, so he's 21 in his rookie year.
Yeah, I thought Amin was slightly younger, but I just believe that now you're with an NBA team that's going to really stress the importance of lifting weights even more and getting more physically strong and durable. And I think that we'll see Amin fill out a little bit more, and I think that's a good thing.
Like Giannis year two, he was 20. Amin year two, he's 22. So, like, there is some difference there. But Giannis, he averaged 9.5 shots a game. Amin Thompson this year is averaging 10 shots a game. Giannis in year two averaged 13, 6.5 rebounds a game. Amin's averaging 14 points, 8 rebounds a game. And look, Amin's a couple years older, but second year in the NBA, and Amin's doing very similar things to what Giannis was doing in his second year of the league. That's why I draw that comparison. I think they're kind of both freaky, like on the basketball floor. Neither one was ever really a good shooter. Giannis became better, but still not great. I'm a big fan of Amin Thompson, so I love him. Amin, and look, I mean, his middle name's Excellence. You knew he was going to be this good.
I think the other thing, too, that we kind of lose sight of is overall the difference between last year to this year in terms of depth that you can go to, right? I think a year ago, if you had an injury in the starting lineup or two injuries in your starting lineup like you had last year, I think you'd have struggled mightily. I think the fact that this team has found guys and some bigger bodies like Steven Adams, even the Jock Landale minutes have been more effective,
mm-hmm.
to where now with a Jabari that's filling, kind of figuring out a little bit more where he needs to be effective with the rebounds and the defense, I think your front line depth has helped you a ton. And it helps again last night where you can rotate four guys in that can all rebound the basketball.
Let's continue this on the other side. I lost track of time because I was talking about excellence. 713-780-ESPN, Bad Take Boulevard. Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans had some thoughts about C.J. Stroud's offseason a year ago. We'll discuss that. Plenty to get to. 713-780-ESPN. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Killer Bees, ESPN975, ESPN925.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
found the killer bees. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. 713-780-3776. Texter says a man is a one to me. He's talking about point guard. He's not physically dominant as a four as he is a one. Imagine him playing the guards full time at his size. Yeah, fair point.
I don't think he's got a problem defensively.
No, he's talking more about like physical dominance over his defender, though. Which, yeah, I mean, he's going to be more physically dominant over point guards than he is power forwards. But I think that he now outquicks power forwards that try to defend him. I forget the up and under move, but I think that was on a post, was it not? I don't remember who was defending Amen Thompson yesterday when he had the ball at the right elbow and faced up and then showed him dipped under him and then was able to slam it from the left elbow. Like, my goodness, the space that you're covering there, excellence. Incredible. I can't remember who was guarding him. But if he can't physically dominate the fours like he can the ones, I think he athletically dominates the fours. So to me, it's like that's a trade-off,
the beauty. Right?
That's the excellence of having him be a guy who can play one through five.
I think he's capable of staying with ones. I don't think he's going to pick them up and guard them three quarters court as much. But I think that his reach allows him to recover and contest shots good enough. But I think he's going to really make threes and fours pay.
Yeah, he's special. He's really, really good. That's why I want him to shoot more. Or look to score more. I shouldn't say shoot more. Look to score more. Texter says Magic is the comp for a man. I don't.
And that's too much.
I don't see that one. Plus, I think their skill set's very
different. Yeah, I don't see him leading the breaks like that and basically being your primary ball handler.
Large point guards is kind of where their comp ends, I think.
Yeah. If he's truly a point.
Texter sees one up and under move and talks about it for an hour. It's been 25 minutes into the show, and it was impressive. Texter, he's a less flashy Magic.
Another one of those?
I don't see it. Why is Cam out? Is he not better than Tate, Jeff Green, Holiday?
Not between the ears.
I don't think that Ime Udoka thinks that Cam Whitmore gives his team a better chance to win than those other guys. I think the reason he's not playing right now is because they reviewed film of the last 5, 7, 10 games before the All-Star break, and they felt he wasn't making enough winning plays.
I think they're tired of babysitting.
Maybe. I think it could be either one.
I just believe that you know that if you're Ime, you trust that Holiday, Tate, and Jeff Green in particular – I'm not going to get any blowback. I'm not going to get any pouty feelings. I'm not going to get any dobber down. I'm going to get tough-nosed guys that know I'm coaching them to try and win a game. They're going to do what I ask them to do, and they might not have the potential of Cam, but they don't carry the bag of BS that I think Ime, quite frankly, at this time of the year, is just absolutely tired of dealing with.
See, I think it's more Ime at this time of the year is going to play whoever gives him the best chance to win. And he trusts the other guys to make winning plays over Cam. I don't think that he's teaching, giving Cam a lesson learned here.
I think he's done. I think he's done babysitting.
If he was babysitting and Cam Whitmore was scoring 25 a game and making winning plays after winning plays, I think he'd play him.
But I think to my point, babysitting means you know what the right play is, and it's swing, or it's something where you are part of a play to get someone else open. And if he's still cranking up threes and trying to get his, then I don't want him on the floor, and I don't want to have to spend the extra time or my staff spend the extra time trying to explain for the 10th time why that's not a winning play.
Yeah, maybe we're saying the same thing. I would call that more not making the winning play than like babysitting him, but maybe we're saying the same thing. But yeah, I think that's why he's not playing. Did you see the Jabari foul on Castle? I think it was first half.
I might have missed it.
He just clobbered him. Hard foul. Castle went to the ground. I love the Rockets' reputation. No layups.
The hand okay. I just need the hand okay.
He was fine. Castle took a hard fall. No Spurs went after Jabari either. I thought that was kind of
interesting. That is kind of interesting.
It was clean. It wasn't flagrant, but it was a bit of a hard foul. Pretty hard foul there by Jabari. I liked it a whole lot. How good has Ben Simmons been? Would have been so good here. I don't know. Has he done anything? Has he played?
I mean, he's playing some minutes for the Clippers and spot duty. But it's essentially, if he shoots it at all, it's a layup off a pass from Harden where he's just right on top of the basket.
Yeah. I don't think anybody said he'd be, like, really good here.
No.
We were saying...
I didn't want him here.
You didn't want him here. I said he'd be better than Aaron Holiday. So, like, the bar was pretty low. We weren't acting like he was going to play 35 minutes and average a triple-double. Chill out there a little bit, Texter. But, yeah, the Jabari foul was pretty hard on Kessel. Love the reputation.
I mean, look, in the last 2 years, they've basically changed their entire... reputation across the league in terms of a team that was soft, that was afraid, that was a coward, that wasn't going to, I know it sounds like a twitcher, but what I'm really explaining is a team that really didn't have leadership and they didn't have that grit. And now you've got up and down from the enforcer standpoint, you don't want Big Steve coming after you.
No, he's a big man.
Yeah, and he's tough as nails.
He's a big man. He's a carnivore diet. No, I rather, and you know my feelings on this. Texter says, I love our physicality. Champions are physical. Like, do you want to be the toughest team or do you want to be the softest team on the floor? Because you have to have both. Every single game, you have a team that's tougher than the other. Mm-hmm. Every single game, you have a team that's softer than the other. Which side of the aisle would you rather be on? I don't want to be the softest team. So, like, I like that kind of stuff. Hey, we're going to – and to let the other team know, yeah, we're going to be the most physical team. You don't like it, do something about it. So I do like that Ime has instilled that for the Rockets. What was with the 8:30 start time? That was because they ESPN. Moved it to ESPN. They didn't end up starting until, like, what, 8:50?
Yeah, well, I noticed that the Knicks-Sixers game, they were still kind of finishing up, and they let them at least kind of get going and get started. But – it was nice that at least it was on the Shin so that we could I switched over real quick.
I was going to ask who you watched it on. You watched it on the Shin?
Yeah, I watched it on the Shin. Yeah.
The who's it was on TNT?
ESPN.
Who's calling it? Was it Pash?
I want to say Doris was here.
Oh, I like Doris.
I think Doris is very good.
I couldn't watch until about 9:30.
I was watching the end of the Sixers Knicks game and then I never saw any of the national of the Rockets game. I saw all Shin.
Yeah, me too. Because my DVR kind of picks and chooses which broadcast it's going to DVR because I have the Rockets on auto set, and it chose the Shin. So I kind of – my DVR, Alexa, or whoever we're calling her, she told me that I was watching the Shin, which I love Ackerman. Ackerman's very, very good. He's really – Vanessa does a great job.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're going to say, and I'm kind of with you on that. I've gotten to know him, so I don't want to say a lot.
I wish I didn't, though. Because I think we would have a really fun bit of just like the stupid stuff he says, but I kind of like him.
He's been super nice to me since I met him, and so yeah, I just kind of take the high road.
This is why it pays off to be nice, so the Killer Bees don't blast you and make you a segment.
Okay.
Because he says some stuff that'd be a lot of fun to make fun of on the air.
You're saying you're unwilling to put him on Bad Take Boulevard?
Nah, not even Bad Take Boulevard. Just more like here are the dumb things that RH said yesterday. Like he's. Texter said that Ben Simmons had 6-8-8 yesterday with the Clippers.
Woo!
I just pulled it up. That's better than Aaron Holiday.
Aaron Holiday is going to outshoot him and outscore him every time he's on the floor.
The big triple single.
When was the last time Aaron Holiday had 6 points in a game? Just kidding.
Welcome to Draymond's world. Another triple single.
6-8-8 for 18 minutes of action for a backup point guard is not bad. Let's not poo poo the guy here.
I was slash ass. I'm aware.
That's a good stat line for 18.
Well,
minutes.
The 8-8 is
I mean six. I mean 6 points on 3 of 8 shootings. Kind of meh.
It's not great.
Yeah, but eight rebounds, 8 assists.
The eight great.
Give me
the
that.
The 8 rebounds is big. Did he say 8 assists?
I pulled up the box score.
Oh.
6-8-8.
I mean, the 2 8s are pretty solid.
Yeah, he's only taking 8 shots, so he's not like he's killing you by missing a bunch of shots, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at Ben Simmons affecting winning in a
How
positive way.
How many times has he done that as a Clipper?
I don't know.
I'm going to look it up right now.
I don't watch non-Rocket NBA basketball during the regular season. Okay, I just pulled up his game log, Blankers.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Bulls, 6-8-8 in 18 minutes. Against the Pacers, he went 8 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds in 24 minutes. Meh. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee prior to that, 6 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. And in Utah before that, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals.
His last 10, he's averaging 6-5-4.
But I think that predates his time with L.A. I don't think he's played 10 games with the Clippers, has he?
It's close.
You can't pull last 10.
A couple games before the break?
You can't pull last 10 though. Like you have to look
well,
at
Well, he's actually probably playing more with
Clippers.
Brooklyn when he was on the floor.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like you can't include his Brooklyn games. No, he's only played 4 games in LA.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can only look at his 4 games. His 4 games have been okay. They've been better than backup point guard stats.
If that's where they're playing them. But I mean, the assist numbers, you know, 8-4-4 alone, and then 8-3-5 on the rebounds. If he's filling up the box score, then. And he's really not shooting very much, so you can live with that.
Like, you can't compare what he would look like with the Rockets versus what he would look like with the Clippers, so it's not an apples-to-apples comparison.
Right.
But he's been pretty okay for L.A. He's been better than Holiday, I think. 4 games, I just pulled it up. 22 minutes a game in those 4 games. He's averaging 8 points, which you're not bringing him in to be a scorer. He's averaging 6 rebounds. He's averaging 5.5 assists. I take that from my backup point guard.
I don't, like I said, I take that from a guy coming off my bench, regardless of what position he plays, because I don't think he's playing backup PG there.
I have no idea their depth, but he's probably in the perimeter, probably. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Key from L.A., what teams do y'all think the Rockets can really hang and possibly beat in the playoffs? All of them. You want to answer that?
Was it again?
Who can the Rockets possibly beat in the playoffs? I think all of them, but OKC.
I don't think so.
I don't think that they will.
I heard Joe talking about it, thinking they could. Joe and Sean were thinking they could beat the Lakers. I don't think they beat the Lakers. I just not in the playoffs.
I mean, they have an AARP dude and a drunk. That their best two players are a dude who's on AARP and a guy who drinks and smokes like a sailor.
And the drunk carried a team to the Western Conference Finals last year.
Ryan's great. Don't be haters. We get complimented on our broadcast team on Reddit all the time. I didn't know Reddit was the bar here.
I didn't know it either.
Doris wasn't on last night. Somebody said Jay Billis was on. That's kind of.
Oh, it was. You know what? I take that back. I flipped over one time. I forget who was doing play-by-play, but I was shocked. But maybe Jay stayed. I don't think. Did he stay
no
in
chance.
Houston?
No.
Yeah, it definitely was Jay Billis. They're using him more on NBA games. I don't mind it.
Yeah, I like Billis. A man can be who Ben Simmons was supposed to be. That's probably a fair take. I would agree with that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Do you remember the C.J. Stroud podcast tour last offseason? Mm-hmm. I didn't really care. Like, who cares? Like, you want him to shut up and throw the ball? Like, what are we doing here? But it looks like Texans brass had a thought or two about C.J. Stroud's podcast tour last offseason. We'll discuss next. Killer Bees, ESPN, 97.5, ESPN, 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Didn't the Lakers just lose to the Hornets? Keep that same energy, says a texter.
Didn't the Lakers just beat the Dallas Mavericks?
Yeah, but the Mavs stink.
Keep that energy.
The Mavs are not any good.
Okay, didn't they beat the Denver Nuggets, who were rolling and won 9 of their last 10?
I don't know why. Energy. Why are you talking in that?
Because I feel like responding, Brian. Because I just felt that vibe.
They have won 3 in a row since they lost to the Hornets. Mm-hmm.
So you think sassy commenters sound like Old West sheriffs?
No, I just want a tough guy that wants to keep that same energy that I'm going to bring it back.
I don't think
why does that come with the country western accent?
Because I feel like it.
I'm not sure our demographic is country and western, really.
Yeah, no, I don't. I never thought of keep that same energy as a country western vibe. But
Texter says AARP and a drunk is the title of my mixtape. Well, I hope that's going well for you. Send me that mixtape when you're done with it. I'd love to hear how it sounds.
Love the N1 mixtape.
Yeah, Brian, you probably shouldn't be commenting on mixtapes.
You never watched the N1 guys back in the day?
That is not the same thing. I don't think you're really their demographic. I'm not their demographic. I'm not. XX wrong water, not getting cracked on coffee today, Branham.
I haven't gone to
you
get
have,
any yet.
You have some over there?
I made the pot before the show.
All right, maybe I'll get cracked down on coffee then. Thank you, XX Ron. So last year, CJ Stroud, we're going to play the audio here and then react to it on the other side. But last year, CJ Stroud went through the whole podcast circuit, right? He seemed like he was on a podcast every other day, whether it was Micah Parsons, whether it was some like random strength coach. He was crowning himself the greatest quarterback of all time.
He's a cowboy.
There you go. Now, he didn't say top, greatest quarterback ever, but he did have himself firmly in the top five. Firmly in the top five. And this bothered a lot of people. I personally didn't care. Like, I think you can go on a podcast for 5 minutes after your full day of working out. I don't think it's that big a deal. Like, it comes off very shut up and throw the football, kind of like LeBron, shut up and dribble. I didn't really care that he was doing the podcast. I will admit that I might have been in the minority there, that I didn't care. How did you feel about it at the time?
Yeah,
did it bother you?
I think at the time I kind of said I wouldn't have done it, but I, as long as he keeps playing the way he's played in year one, then I don't think there's anything to say about it. I think I basically said, you know, you can have that criticism if he had a bad year, but he had a good year.
Like, was his second year, I wouldn't say was like bad, right? Like, it wasn't as good as year one.
He just takes a lot of blame for it.
And then I would also say, like, did he take a step back statistically in year two versus year one because he was podcasting, or was it because he had a bad offensive line?
Because he had a bad offensive line.
Yeah. Like, that would be my response. Yep. Lamont says, I called several shows last year, voiced my concern about CJ yapping so much on podcast and calling for blah, blah, blah. All radio personalities and the Texans fanboys was like, it's nothing with that. My thing was, we don't see quarterbacks doing that. And I will agree with Lamont there. We don't see a lot of quarterbacks doing the whole podcast tour, especially after their rookie year. Well, Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans are doing their own little podcast media's tour right now at the Combine. And it sounds to me like they've been pretty critical of the C.J. Stroud podcast circuit last year. Here was Nick Caserio yesterday. He was on with PFT, Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, Chris Sims. He actually knows Chris Sims pretty well because Sims spent a little bit of time with New England. Mm. Whenever Nick Caserio was there, I had forgotten about that, but then, you know, it jotted my mind. It kind of jogged my mind, rather, because they talked about it. So here was Caserio about Stroud learning a lesson, maybe, from last offseason.
You're from New England. It's on to Cincinnati. It's don't really ever say anything. He was very public in media appearances in the offseason last year. Is there a point where do you have a talk with him about that?
You know, I think players kind of have to learn some of this as you go.
Right.
And we got to understand, these are young players and they come in the league and sometimes a lot is thrown at them. And they have to, look, in the end, you got to figure things out on your own. What works, what doesn't work, a little bit more of this, a little bit less of that. But ultimately, whomever the player is, the focus has to be on work and improvement in the offseason. And you can make a lot of progress and a lot of gains if that's where the focus is.
He doesn't really answer the question, but he's like, your focus should be on your work.
He's hinting a little bit. Yeah.
So, like, that's positive or negative based on C.J. Stroud's offseason a year ago?
Look, I think that the positive is that whether there's any truth behind it, the notion that whether it took away from time on football and it was a distraction that way, time commitment otherwise, that CJ, it's been known, and they've put it out there in multiple different interviews that they've done, that CJ is basically taking a step back to focus more on football. And I think that is the biggest, best thing that you could have come out of this, regardless of how you feel about him doing just podcasts.
Okay, yeah, probably true. But do you think Caserio is more critical here or not critical?
I think he's annoyed.
Okay. I would say that that's probably synonymous with critical.
It would lean on critical. I don't know how much he's willing to, like, go and address it with CJ as much as he's basically not exactly sitting back, relaxing, and saying, ah, it's no big deal.
Okay, yeah. I'm more critical than not critical here.
I would say he definitely didn't want to talk about it much in the media, you could tell. He doesn't want to talk about a lot of things like that through the media. But that last part where he says, if that's where the focus is, seems to imply to me he didn't think that's where Stroud's focus was last offseason.
Or at the very least, that the focus should be on the work.
Yes.
Here's another one from Nick Caserio making the rounds and, you know, combine row. This one's on with McAfee on what the next few months need to look like for C.J. Stroud.
I think CJ is going to have a really good offseason. He's going to be committed to making himself a better football player, which is that's where the focus should be.
Huh.
That right there, and I didn't hear the rest of the quote, but if that...
Well, he kind of got word salad and started talking about other things.
Yeah, that in a nutshell basically tells you all you need to hear.
The work should be on the work.
Well, especially since the previous clip we played with a completely different, you know, show that he was on, he basically kind of said the same thing.
Different show. Yeah. That first one was on with PFT Florio Sims. This one was on with McAfee. Okay, well, there's the general manager. How about the head coach? How about Cap? How about D'Amico Ryans? D'Amico Ryans had a one-on-one with Cameron Wolf, the best NFL football reporter on NFL Network, and not even NFL. NFL Network across the league. Cameron Wolf is the very best. Go Cougs. D'Amico.
Just gonna ask.
So. Anyways, I mean,
our beloved Cougs.
Cameron Wolf brought up, you know, what do you blah 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 blah. C.J. Stroud and D'Amico touched on what Stroud has to do this offseason.
C.J. just has to take a step back, right, and really dive into the off season, right? And that's where your season is won. Like, how are you putting that work into in the off season? Like, how are you hitting the weight room? Like, how are you detailing your craft and improving that and bringing other guys along with you? And I think CJ is going to be much better. He's going to have a much better off season this time around.
Much better off season means that you think he has a lot of room of improvement from the previous off season. This is obvious.
And he said, take a step
this
back.
This is plain as day. Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryan. Look, I don't agree with them, but Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryan's very clearly were not too pleased with C.J. Stroud's offseason a year ago.
Yeah, I think if you want to take it to the point of not too pleased or just use this as kind of a learning lesson, because I'm not sure that they're going to show him that they're really upset about it. I think it's basically just like, hey, what you did last year didn't work. It's time to reevaluate some things, and then you go from there. Because, I mean, we heard stories in the offseason about his building relationships with Diggs and building relationships with Mixon. And
on
doing
their podcast.
Things. Well, but also, like, he paid the way for everybody, including those guys, to go some offsite, you know, throwing camps and things like that. So I don't know how much more he needs to do. He taught the rookies handshakes, so
I don't think that they liked him on the podcast stuff. And look, I think it's a little football hardo. Let's react on the other side. 713-780-ESPN. Three clips, all from yesterday. Two from the GM on two different shows. One from D'Amico Ryans with the greatest NFL reporter currently in the business. He's not fighting at Starbucks, Cameron Wolf. That all very clearly say that C.J. Stroud's offseason can get a lot better than it was from a year ago. What is the reaction from this? What does that look like? We'll discuss. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
XX says, I think CJ's embarrassed. He's hiding this offseason. You know, the two things that bring on change the most in people, desperation and embarrassment. I learned that in psychology class. I love good psychology from time to time. Hey, why did you put the bag of coffee grounds on the top of the coffee?
The lid wouldn't stay shut.
Really?
Yeah. It's a brand new coffee pot, but people are abusing it already, so I wanted to make sure that the pot brewed. So just to make sure, I put the coffee on top of the...
The suits upstairs are going to that coffee machine like Luca goes through a pack of cigarettes.
How are they abusing it?
Using it a lot.
The other day that they didn't take it off the heater on the bottom after they emptied all but like a quarter of an inch of liquid, and it became a science project on the bottom of crusty burnt stuff.
Yeah. Brian, why don't you leave this up to the coffee drinkers?
I was asking out of genuine curiosity because I have no idea how you'd abuse a coffee maker.
Texture, my only problem with CJ going on pods, it was talking like he's a top five quarterback already and then had the season he had. See, I don't care that my quarterback thinks he's a top five quarterback. Like, I actually like my quarterbacks to be cocky, arrogant, and confident. I much rather them think they're a top five quarterback than be like, I'm not sure I belong in the NFL. Like, I want an arrogant, brash, bravado quarterback. I don't care that he said he was in the top five.
I think in any position, in any sport that you play, I just had a teachable moment coaching the girls' softball team this week, and I was talking to my buddy who coaches his son in basketball, and it's the same thing. You got to teach them from a young age on that if you're playing not to lose and you're playing scared or not turn it over or make a mistake, you're going to make mistakes and turn it over. When you play with confidence and believe that you could do anything when you're on the court of the field, good things are going to happen, and I think that's a tough thing to teach some kids.
Newt Rockne, Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, Joel Blank, the most inspirational coaches that ever. No, it's a good lesson. I'm just teasing, having some fun with it. But no, you need to be confident. I couldn't care less that C.J. Stroud thinks he's a top five quarterback. I didn't care less that he was going on podcast. I think it's, again, very shut up and dribble. Space City Kev, I'm not reading that text, dude. Like, that's a dissertation. That's way too long. Sum it down into like two sentences tops. Look at that thing. How many words do you think that text from Space City Kev is? Third one from the top. That's like 500 words.
Yeah, that's definitely not making it on Twitter.
We need two sentences there, Space City. Texter, yeah.
Unless you're Patrick Gray.
You got to pay for the blue check mark in order to get that one on Twitter. which you don't pay for the blue check mark unless you're farming engagement. A texter, when you've seen the greatest work ethic of all time in Tom Brady, anything less can be seen as not doing enough. That's an interesting take.
But, I mean, I know it's not quite the same thing, but he was doing the show with Jim Gray while he was an active player. So it's not like Tom Brady was never doing a podcast.
Yeah, he was doing a three-minute radio hit for Monday Night Football
halftime.
Well,
that was what made it onto the broadcast, but he was doing more than 3 minutes with Jim Gray.
He was also friends with Jim Gray.
I know, I'm just saying, if we're going to talk about Tom Brady do, Brady did do podcasts.
It was like C.J. Stroud. It was Brady, Jim Gray.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Wasn't Oprah part of that clique? I think she was.
I know Jim Gray and Braun because he did The Decision.
Yeah, he did.
Handpicked.
Yeah, there was some weird click there. I don't like when ESPN gives kudos to the Texans or the Rockets or the Astros and all the kudos at ESPN, even Charles Barkley. It was a bad luck charm. Yeah, I kind of see where you're coming from there. Podcasts weren't the issue. His play was, and it wasn't just on the O-line. Fair point. Tom Brady was in movies and doing TV shows. It's true. I forgot about the movie. He was in Ted. Remember, he was in Ted? Ted was funny. I never saw
Ted.
The
was really
Ted.
Funny. I enjoyed it.
Did you see Ted 2?
I watched it. I just remembered not being nearly as funny.
I think I turned it off.
Yeah, it wasn't Zoolander too bad, but it was not as good as the original.
I remember watching bits and pieces of it, and I was like, I'm not watching this. Texture says I blame Amber Rose. CJ Stroud.
A lot of people do.
But Stroud tried to make it very clear that he was not with Amber Rose. Like, yeah. He was going around cars, so they were not, like, walking side by side. But maybe. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Is this MLA Paul? I wonder if this is MLA. MLA Paul, right. Is this you?
Hey, guys. I enjoy the show. I'd much rather him do a podcast than our previous quarterback activities. And I don't have a problem with the podcast. A lot of players do these, have shows after the game or during the week, so I don't have a problem with it, and I do think he's a top five talent. But this kid, I mean, I would be a little gun shy myself if I was playing behind that line. So guys, he's a good kid. They're just making a mountain out of a molehill.
Appreciate it, Paul. I love that line, mountain out of a molehill. I agree with everything Paul said. I think this is sensationalism. I don't think it mattered that much. Yes, he is far better character than Deshaun Watson.
Low bar to clear.
Very, very low bar to clear. But yes, you're technically right. He is a far better character guy than Deshaun Watson. But I think it is very evident that Nick Caserio and DeMeco Ryans don't want a repeat of next year's offseason. I think it's very obvious.
It's interesting from the standpoint that when things are going good, no one's ever going to mention the podcast. But you look at what's going on now, and I think Micah Parsons has had to address it multiple times in the last couple of weeks about it being an issue with the Cowboys, too, and them saying the same thing and saying maybe he should step away from the podcast. Paul George, as of last night's game, decided he's putting the podcast on hold for a while to really concentrate on basketball. So when you feel that kind of extra kind of added thing that someone could blame, some people are just eliminating it because a lot more people are starting to point at those things as distractions.
Yeah. Yeah. Texture says maybe the podcast become annoying when you think the player isn't working hard enough away from them. That's probably the truest thing. Like, you wouldn't care if a guy with Brady was podcasting whenever Tom Brady, every breathing moment, whenever he's not doing an interview or like filming a movie, which is probably in the off season, that he's at working the absolute most. I just wouldn't think CJ Stroud would be a guy who coast like that. That to me doesn't seem to add up.
But that maybe is the concern, that from everything that they've seen since they talked to him pre-draft into the draft process to when they've had him, and especially through that first year, they believed exactly what you just said. And then when he started feeling good about himself after his rookie season, maybe they saw that change. And the easiest thing to say is at the front of the list is the podcast to blame, but maybe it was just a complete change from what they were used to seeing in terms of his overall dedication to football.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what this offseason looks like, and it'll be very interesting to see what he looks like in season.
I just think, too, the other thing is because of the we're blaming a podcast. To the caller's point,
I'm not blaming a podcast.
I know, but I'm just saying, to Paul's point, it could be a hell of a lot worse. It doesn't have to be Deshaun worse, But I mean, he's a man of faith. He preaches it daily. He lives his seems to live his life in a very clean life, light leaf, clean way. I don't think I'm worried about him, you know, overly clubbing and drinking. I don't even think he drinks. So, you know, if you want to blame podcasts, go ahead. I think the main thing for me is if he's going to spend even more time kind of getting into the playbook, especially with the new OC and working on more football related stuff, it's a benefit.
How do you feel about Luka drinking and smoking?
I mean, I'm to the point where if Luka gets you 27 a game and he can carry you as far as he can carry a team basically all by himself, I'm not, I've been with enough franchises to realize they let the main player get away with a lot if they're that good.
Yeah.
Did Barkley drink a little bit?
Yeah. Did James Harden go to strip Michael clubs
Jordan,
every night?
Did Michael Jordan have a little fun on the side?
Maybe.
James Harden had a great work ethic, I've heard. Seriously. Sincerely. I sincerely say that.
Except for when he wanted to get Kevin McHale fired.
Well, I mean, he did get Kevin McHale fired.
I know, that's
fired,
what I'm saying. Yeah. He came to the season fat.
I think that...
Body suits.
Two things can be true. I
agree with that.
Yeah, because I think that no matter what kind of work ethic you have about the game of basketball, if you're out all night at strip clubs and you're drinking, recovery is a little more difficult.
I don't know why I end that. You're right. Yes, you're right. I can't argue that. There's been some legendary dudes though that are willing to do that, and they're fine. Like Jordan's obviously the prime example. Although I don't know how hard he was going, I just know he was out all night. All right, 713-780 ESPN HRMP listener line. Were the Texans better in 2024 or 2023? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.